Blog Talk Radio.
Love!
Good morning, good morning, and welcome to Joy and Peace, where your host is none other than Overseer Sadie Elliott. I am glad you have stopped by the show today, whether this morning, this afternoon, or tonight in the archives. So, gracious Father, we thank you for this broadcast today, dear Heavenly Father. Let it be something that I said, dear Heavenly Father, scripture or whatever that will help somebody on this Christian journey, dear Heavenly Father. We want to give you praise and to give you honor. In the blessed name of Jesus, we pray, amen, and thank God. Well, today we're going to be talking about walking in the spirit and not in the flesh. You know, believers today must walk in the spirit is the essential of the stewardship of our dispensation and the criteria by which God will evaluate us. No one in the Old Testament had ever commanded walking in the Spirit. It was new with the Apostle Paul. Jesus had him hinted at it and laid the groundwork to it. But Paul made walking on the Spirit the central element of the believer's responsibility. So what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? And how do we accomplish it? I am glad you asked. And I would tag words today is spirit, flesh, and dispensation. You know, Paul addressed walking in the spirit with a capital S, which means that the word spirit is a proper noun, meaning this is God, the Holy Spirit, as we can tell in our first scripture is coming from Colossians 1, 9, and 10. And the word of God said, and so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. You know, if a believer is walking in a manner worthy of the Lord and is fully pleasing to him, then they will be bearing every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So, someone who is walking in the Spirit of God will produce good fruit, providing he or she is walking in the Spirit. And that they will also be increased in the knowledge of God. This means that they will necessarily have a thirst and hunger for the Word of God and be reading their Bible, studying the Word, hearing biblical teaching, and as a consequence, growing in the knowledge of God. Today we are talking about walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. You know, David had this hunger and thirst too, which is why he wrote in Psalms 42, 1 and 2, that as a deer panteth for flowing streams, so pant my soul for you. O God, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. This gives us an image of a deer that has been running toward the flowing stream, which is indicating of having a thirst, not only for God's word, but righteousness. This is joined with a hunger for God. And anyone who hunger after God is devouring the word of God, which is the daily bread we all need to sustain us in our daily walk with God. You know, we are not justified by the manner of our walk, but by our being in Christ Jesus. You know, we're talking today walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. You know, Paul was the first to use the term dispensation. That's one of our tag words we're using today. Is to refer to administration of the segment of God's program for mankind. Ephesians 1, 10, and 3, and 9, you'll find also, as he revealed the specific of our current administration, which was established by Jesus' new covenant work for his people, Israel, he taught that the primary reason of his dispensation stewardship is walking in the Spirit. You know, while Abraham was required to glorify God by living by faith and God's promise, and all covenant saints was expected to glorify God by living in a conformative to the Mosaic law. You know, God's children today are required to glorify him by walking in the Spirit. None of these stewardship is a mean of salvation. Rather, they are mean by which saved individuals glorify God in their present dispensation. You know, Paul taught that the Holy Spirit lives within every born-again believer. In this dispensation of grace, but not every believer lived in submission to the Spirit. In the days of the early church, Ananias and Sapphira illustrate that believers sometimes allow their heart to be filled with Satan. You'll find that in Acts 5 and 3. Possessing the Holy Spirit is not sufficient. Believers must allow the Spirit to possess them. You know, the word walk is a New Testament metaphor. It is used 95 times for lie, as illustrated in Ephesians 2 and 10. For we are his workmanship, crafted in Christ Jesus for good work, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. To walk in the Spirit means to live in complete submission to the control of the indwelling Spirit of God. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. You'll find that in Romans 6, 12, and 13. You know, the opposite of walking in the Spirit is walking in the flesh. You know, Paul contrasted the result of these two walk in Galatians 5, 19 through 23. He said the Holy Spirit gains control when we are filled with the Spirit. Which scripture contrasts with being drunk with wine? You find in Ephesians 5 and 18. Believers should live under the control of the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law must be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. My. You'll find that in Romans 8. 2 through 4. And you know, as we go on, I'm going to tell you a little bit about walking in the flesh. You know, Paul tells us that the Galatians, that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Again, such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus has crucified the flesh with his passion and desire. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceit, provoke one another, envy one another. You'll find that in Galatians 25, 22, and 25. You know, the same thing as living by the Spirit of keeping in step with the Spirit is walking in the Spirit of being controlled by the Spirit of God. Be not yield our bodies to the flesh, which it passion and desire, but Paul revealed the evidence of a believer is faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and other such fruits that those who belong to Christ Jesus, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desire. If they had them, they would be crucifying the flesh. But walking in the flesh, by walking by the Spirit, we won't gratify the desire of the flesh. You'll find in Galatians 5 and 16. Flesh, but walking in the flesh, by walking in the Spirit, we don't gratify the desires of the flesh. When we are not walking in the Spirit of God, we will be gratifying the desires of the flesh. So that the difference between walking in the Spirit and walking in the flesh, the fruit of works are produced, given evidence of whether we are walking in the Spirit or walking in the flesh. That's how we know that we are or we are walking in the Spirit. That's why Paul wrote, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh." You'll find that in 2 Corinthians 10 and 3. "Because our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds." My. We know it's a lot of strongholds need to be broken, even on this teaching line today. It's some stronghold need to be broken. Yes, Lord. You know, there is a consequence of walking in the flesh. You know, Paul had great concern for all the churches that they not walk in the flesh, because the consequence are more severe, that include the wage of this war, which is death. You'll find that in Romans 6:23. He continued in Romans 8 and 4 through 8 by saying, "In Jesus he condemned sinners in the flesh. Walk not according to of the flesh, but those who according to the Spirit of set their mind on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace." Don't you want to have life and peace and not death? "You know, for the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God." My. If you're in the flesh, you can't please God. You know, but by Jesus' death for us, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. But if you have to the flesh, you die. But if by the Spirit put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And for all who have led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. You'll find in Romans 8:12-14, "If so, living by the flesh result in death, but if you are walking by the Spirit, you will be put to death the deeds of the body of flesh and live." Paul was resumated a better and written concerning the Christians in Rome, because he said, "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, that the Spirit of God dwell in you, however, anyone who do not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him." Oh, my. And when you think about that, walking in the Spirit, hallelujah. You know, walking in the Spirit accomplishing the following things that I will give you. One, it prevents walking in the flesh, which is our default mode, Romans 6:12-33 and Galatians 5 and 16. It proclaims God's word by we submit it to his stewardship for this dispensation. You'll find that in 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. It produced spiritual maturity, whereof certainly products and perpetual immaturity, 1 Corinthians 2:14, 3 and 3 in Galatians. 3, 2, and 3. It preserves the grace principle which we forfeit if we default to the flesh. It prevents death, the natural result of anything accomplished in the flesh. Well, today we're talking about walking in the spirit and not in the flesh. You know, so oftentimes, that's the way people start doing, trying to walk in the flesh instead of walking in the spirit. And we have to remember whose we are and who we belong to. You know, there are five difference between walking in the flesh and in the spirit. And I hope you have your paper and pencil ready so I may be able to give it to you. And to sum it up, walking in the flesh and in the spirit, those who have the spirit of God produce fruit that reveal whether they are a child of God or not. If there are no spiritual fruit, then God is not their father. My. Those who walk in the spirit have crucified the flesh and do not submit themselves to the desires of the flesh. Those who walk in the spirit have crucified the flesh and do not submit themselves to the desire of the flesh. But those who don't walk in the spirit give the spirit in their work, producing nothing more than the wages that they have earned, and is death. Romans 6:23. Those who walk in the flesh live according to the flesh, prove that they do by their work. But those with the Spirit of God prove that they are Christ, producing Christ-like life. My. Walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. You know, those who walk in the flesh produce the fruits of the spirit, like sexual immorality, impurity, sexuality, idolatry, sorcery, envy, strife, jealous, burst of anger, rival, disgust. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So those today who walk, who put to death the dead, the deed of the body or flesh, you'll find that Romans 8:13 are truly walking in the spirit. But those who do not have the spirit of Christ surely do not belong to him. At this time, we'll play a little music and then we'll come back to end our broadcast. We'll be back with some more. Hallelujah.
Everybody say, oh, 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 oh,
oh, oh, oh, oh, oh.
Everybody say, oh, 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 oh,
oh. Oh,
stomp on the devil.
Stomp on the devil, hey.
Everybody in here, stomp on the devil.
Stomp on the devil, hey.
Back to the top, one more time. Say, oh, 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 oh.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We got to know that the enemy is under our feet. Today we're ending up our broadcast on walking in the spirit and not in the flesh. You know, walking in the spirit begins with desire, because walking in the flesh is easier. It is our default mode. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Although he was speaking about a different type of feeling, the principle is the same. To live in a new nature rather than the old default, believers must pursue life in the spirit. This is the reason for Paul's imperative working in the spirit. Be filled with the spirit. Put off the old man. Put on the new man. If we respond to life as it comes without a determination to walk in the spirit, we usually lapse into the carnal response and ungodly behavior of the old nature. You know, walking in the spirit requires confession of sin. This should be distinguished from the confession of sins necessary for salvation. Confessing one's sinful nature and condition, agreeing with God about them, paved the way for placing faith in Jesus' finished work on the cross for salvation. Once born again, however, a believer must confess his or her sins, plural, to maintaining the family relationship. Sin is an act of disobedience and rebellion. It interrupts fellowship with the Heavenly Father and fellow believer. This broken relationship requires confession. Agree with God. When we think about that, walking in the spirit and not in the flesh, it prevents walking in the flesh, which is our default mode. It proclaims God's glory because we submit to his stewardship for this dispensation. It produces spiritual maturity, wherein carnality produces perpetual immaturity. It preserves the grace principle, which we forfeit if we default to the flesh. It prevents death, the natural result of anything accomplished in the flesh. You'll find that in Romans 6:23-5. Well, that's the ending of our broadcast today, walking in the spirit and not in the flesh. Please stay tuned next week for our next broadcast. We only did it for 30 minutes today, so stay tuned next week for another exciting topic. Thank you so much for coming on the air today. Bye-bye.